I'll get comfortable, but not too comfortable. A vignette, we're going to all explain that as we get a little further, but I hope you could hear, and we read them out of order, didn't we? We read our scripture lesson first, our gospel lesson, and the other scripture you sat through. Do you feel discombobulated? It's out of order from what we normally do it, but we need to hear that the author that wrote Luke also wrote Acts, and that the two are back to back. You hear him say, in the last book, Theophilus, I wrote this, and here we are in that next piece. The end of Luke, Jesus withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And so then in Acts 1, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 90 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we've moved from the resurrection. Now we're hearing a little bit about that tumultuous time after Jesus is gone. And what happened? Well, they were fragmented. They were going different ways. And so during that 40 days, 40, you understand 40 days, don't you? Does that ring any bells for you as you think about the Bible? Wandering for 40 days in the wilderness. You know why they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses wouldn't stop and ask for directions. 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus is 40 days in the wilderness while he's being tempted. You recall? It rained. How long did it rain for Noah? And 40 nights. How long did it rain in Colorado? 40, well, almost. But that number 40, it isn't meant to be literal. It means the whole time that it happened. That he was in the wilderness, as long as he was in the wilderness, as long as he needed to be in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years. It was as long as they needed to wander. Actually, I think it rained a little longer than it needed to be for us here, but that's another story. Jesus appeared to them during that period of time that was as long as it needed to be, those 40 years. So I want to give us a view of that kind of that moment and what was going on in that time and that group. Just a glimpse in. That's what I mean by vignette. Okay? Vignette means an image that maybe portrays a greater something. The Shawshank Redemption. How many of you saw that? It's a prison movie. It's a vignette of prison life. It's just one glimpse in to see what things were like there. Here is a vignette then. We're seeing this point in time after Jesus' death and as we are moving into the early years of the church. One of the first things that they misunderstood was this kingdom of God stuff. You see, the disciples and the followers and everybody had heard about Jesus and knew about Jesus, and he even mentioned the kingdom of God. He said to them at one point, the kingdom of God has come near you. And they misunderstood that to mean politically. A kingdom where Israel would be the greatest nation in the world again. They had been once under King David. They wanted that greatness to return. They were thinking in political terms instead of in divine terms. Do we do that in our nation sometimes? Here we are seeing people divided, and it's over political things that don't really matter the way divine things do. And we get lost. But let's not segue too far away from that. Jesus had talked to them and said, let me quote it from Mark 1:15. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What did that mean? They weren't quite sure. And so their envisionment of kingdom of God, maybe we aren't as sure today either. If the kingdom of God had come near, what did that mean? Was it almost a huge political change? Not at all. But Jesus himself had come near. And most scholars would argue that the kingdom of God represents Christ and Christ's laws and being and ways of living on earth. Here on earth. Not sometime in the future when we'll be able to go to the rest in the arms of the Lord. Praise God. We celebrated Tim Collins and his passing from here to that great place and the beyond. He is at peace. But the kingdom of God refers to here and now and to us. So the Luke-Acts continuity shows, let's listen to that. They returned from Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a day's journey away when they entered the city. And somehow we missed verse 13 and 14 out of the Acts reading. I think we missed it. I don't know if we did. Let's double check. I'll read it again. Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and James the Lesser. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So that tells you what's going on. Now, we've come into that period of time that's unsettled, but here they are gathered. It's the apostles. There's 11 of them there, if you were counting. And with them, who did they say was with them? Certain women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. We don't talk about that very often. Did you ever know that Jesus had brothers? Who were they? I'd like to know. That would be curious and it'd be kind of exciting and interesting. We don't list them. I think in a lot of ways we want Jesus to be completely different, completely separate, completely unique. And yet here he had siblings. How many of you are familiar with the Da Vinci Code? Movie, book, all the story from Dan Brown, he writes about the chalice of Christ, and it turns out to be one of his great-great-great-great-granddaughters, and she is, I can't remember her name, starts with an S, but that's as close as I can get right now, but she is that descendant, and he makes it an amazing sort of thing. But is it possible that there are relatives, brothers and sisters? And this vignette is showing us a picture that's a little different than most of the ones that we envision. It was men in most vignettes. Most paintings will show men. Very few will show the inclusion of women and or children that might have been present. They certainly would have been. Anytime we have a gathering of men and women, the kids are there, aren't they? And we celebrate them. We don't always name them, point them out, and oftentimes we have to chase them down. I got a handful of that this last weekend when my grandson Ryer was in town. I'd forgotten how frenetic eating a dinner together can be. Love it. I love it in brief pieces. But understanding that in that vignette, that picture of what's happening, we hear now clearly those others that were present, including the women. The documents, the literature, the remembrances of everybody leaves them out because women were just not considered an important issue to include. They were second-class citizens at best. We've gotten better. I don't think we're through with that journey at all, that gender equality thing. When did the suffragette movement happen? How many of you remember? I buried a gal in Johnstown who had been a member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union. How many of the United Methodist women remember being members of the... Yet here's Sandy and Carol grinning. Was it Women's Christian Temperance Union here? No? What was it called here? Okay, Carol said her grandmother was involved. That's not very long ago, generation to generations. And I don't think we're done yet. pay inequality still has some journeys to go. Equality of all kinds of things. Can women do those things? I have to tell you, when Pi is gone, I'm a mess. It's just an issue that in the office, she is the office manager, and boy, she does a great job. We should acknowledge her and say thank you. Thank you, Ms. Pia. Thank you. We try and get our jobs done together now, although both of us are part-time and both of us are fragmented, and we try and do our best, and God guide us, God inspire us. But it's interesting to see all of this inclusiveness and that Jesus set up, but it didn't really continue and is taking generations still to kind of move in that direction. You see, power is seductive, and it is a temptation. And I'm convinced now that it is instinctive. I have neighbors that are goosey. They are literally geese. I live next to the park. And Sunday or Friday, I came home from work trying to drive in my driveway, and geese were walking down the road and stopped and looked at my car as if, what are you doing? We're walking here. They're very interesting creatures. And not only that, but you'll see a group of them, and invariably one of them is more powerful than the other, and they'll go in a pecking order, and one of them will put their wings up and duck their head down and run at another pecking away, and the other one will go honking and flapping and run away. And pecking orders and power struggles. We do that all the time, don't we, as humans? What a sad situation. And I wonder if we're as comical in our pecking orders as those geese, honking and flapping and carrying on. It's a sad piece of how we are not yet into the kingdom of God. You see, because that's what the kingdom of God is portraying. And that's what Jesus had modeled, and that's was the model that he has setting before us as we look at that vignette of the disciples gathered, the apostles gathered, of the women gathered, of his brothers gathered, all of them together. And no differentiation. It didn't spell out who was in charge. They were equal. They were gender equal. They were unbiased. They were unracist. They were unclassist. They had warriors on one side of the apostles and peaceniks on the other, hawks and doves together. They had poor, simple fellows. Andrew was barely, he was just as simple as you could be, not ignorant, but he just hadn't had much formal education, as opposed to Matthew, well educated. He was a publican, he was a tax collector. And here they are gathered together, Jesus gathering them. All of the diversity and diversities of region and dialect. The kingdom of God is about equality and justice and care of one another and family and connectedness. It's about God being with us. And it's about us working together continually to be a part of God's family truly and completely and unjudgmentally. And God of creation and our love of creation and our care of creation and our place in creation. And thank goodness for humans, it's a place and a group that's growing and healing and saving and being faithful in Christ. So this vignette, this brief picture of them gathered, becomes a model for us with Christ in the midst, with the Spirit in the midst, and with love as the guiding principle. Amen? Amen.